The reading this morning is Acts 2, verses 1 to 13, and you can find that on page 1093 of the Pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
Well, let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a living God who has spoken in the past and who speaks today. And we pray that we might have receptive hearts, open ears, and a willingness to obey what we hear. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There are signs we welcome and there are signs we fear. On the way in, someone said, "I love this time of the year, the first signs of autumn, the colours changing, the cooler days." Signs we welcome may include things like improvements in our health, maybe our own health. Maybe we've woken this morning feeling better than we have done for several days. But then there's signs we fear, the beginnings of a migraine. The doctor are asking us to come and see them to discuss the results of tests. No news of a family member caught up in a disaster zone. And then there are signs that we're just perplexed by, that we can't make head or tail of. Maybe it's the economic prospects for our own pockets, but maybe for the business that we work for, or someone's behaviour in a family. We're just left thinking, what is going on? We see the signs, but we don't know what to make of them. Well, what were those first disciples to make of what happened at Pentecost that we've just read about? Verse 2, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They're struggling to describe it, aren't they? Because they say they saw what seemed to be. In other words, they weren't actual tongues of fire. But that was the best they could do to describe it. They heard the sound, the violent wind that came from heaven. Were these signs to welcome? Were these signs to fear? Or were they just perplexing? Well, to those present, if they knew the history of God's dealing with his people, they would be signs that pointed to the presence of God. If you go back to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, when the people of God were slaves in Egypt, captive, and they were rescued by God, and we read that he blew a strong east wind which blew back the sea so they could walk through it on the dry land, and how then they were led through the wilderness at night time by a pillar of fire that God provided. Here then, in Acts 2, are signs that God was visiting. And that wouldn't have been a surprise to the disciples, for Jesus had said, "Cast your eye across the page to chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But beyond the sights and sounds of the fire and wind, there was another sound that in some ways was more spectacular. That was of the disciples speaking in languages that they had never spoken in before. So what do we make of these signs? Well, wonderfully, we're not left in the dark. We're given an explanation. And in major part, this explanation will come in Peter's sermon that we're not going to get to today, but the next two or three weeks we're going to be looking at. But today sets the scene for what Peter will say. It is, if you like, the events that lead to the explanation that we find in the sermon. It's the context. And what is noticeable is that we don't find an emphasis on the spectacular sights and sounds. They would be enough to keep people talking and speculating a long time. But the emphasis actually is on what happened, what the outcome of those sights and sounds was when God showed up. Look with me then at verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. First thing to notice is that the Spirit enables speech. The Spirit enables speech. What happens when the Spirit comes? I wonder what you might think. You might say, well, when the Spirit comes, we're comforted. He comes alongside us to comfort us. Or you might say he comes to counsel us, to give us the wisdom that we don't have. Or you might say he comes to convict us of wrongdoing and sin. All of those would be true. But here, the Spirit comes to enable speech. At verse 6, they heard in their own language. Verse 7, aren't all those who are speaking? Verse 8, each of us hears. Verse 11, we hear them. And then Peter says in verse 14, listen carefully. And in verse 22, listen to this. In other words, the Spirit's coming issues in words, in preaching, and in teaching. And it wasn't unintelligible babble. What they spoke was understandable. And that was because this great crowd who were gathered heard the disciples in their own language. You'll notice the footnote in your Bibles to verse 4, where it says, tongues, translated languages. And that is made clear in verse 8. The words they hear are in their native language. So it's not talking about the ecstatic tongue speaking that you read about in 1 Corinthians, for example, that needs someone to interpret it because nobody can understand it. I'm sure most of us have had that experience of going to a foreign country but not understanding a word of what you're hearing the locals say. They're obviously saying something to you that should be very clear. And because you're polite, you nod away and you smile whilst thinking, I do not understand a word that you are saying to me. And then a local appears who happens to speak perfect English, and they explain that you've just walked into an area that is exclusively for women and you shouldn't be there. And now you understand. Now it makes sense why they were so agitated as they were speaking to you. The Spirit enabling speech is exactly as Jesus had said. In John's Gospel, we read this: when the Spirit of truth comes, he will teach you all things. Teaching occurs through words, and as we'll see in a little while, they were words of truth. Now, as we said last week, we'll say again as we preach through Acts, what is happening on the day of Pentecost is not normative. In other words, we who have the Spirit today through faith in Jesus are not enabled by the Spirit to speak in other languages previously unknown to us, though I would love to be able to do that. This gift was given at a particular moment to signal the beginning of a new era. What the prophet Joel calls, have a look in verse 17, we'll come to this next week, but it is the last days. These are the days that we live in, the last days. That is between the ascension of Jesus into heaven that we read about in Acts 1 and the return of Jesus from heaven. Nothing else remains in history. I don't know if you're aware of that, apart from the return of Jesus. Lots is going to happen in history, of course it is. But we know that that's the defining moment when Jesus returns. But though we can't speak as they did, the Holy Spirit enables us. You see what it says? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, God moved in. God moved into them to dwell with them. And that is true of everyone who trusts Jesus. He comes, the living God, to be with us, to dwell within us. And he does what he did then. He enables us to speak words. Words full of content, words full of truth, Bible words. We don't have to make up what we say. We are given the words to say, as we're going to see in a moment. So the Spirit enables speech. Secondly, the Spirit empowers witnesses. The Spirit empowers witnesses. Did you notice who it is who speaks? We read that 120 believers were gathered together, verse 1. We know it's 120 from chapter 1. And at the end of verse 3, it says this: each of them, all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. There's no discrimination between people. He doesn't say, well, you lot over there, I'm going to enable you, but not you lot. No, he empowers all his people to be his witnesses. Just as he said in chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power, you will be my witnesses. So what Jesus promised was now happening. And as soon as they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're enabled to speak and empowered to bear witness. Just as the Holy Spirit came to all his disciples, so he empowered them to be witnesses to all people. The Holy Spirit came on all of them to enable them to speak to all people. Because of this great Jewish festival of Pentecost, Jews were gathered from all over the world, as the names of the places indicate. So the reach of the gospel at this particular moment was pretty mind-blowing. God waited until all the nations were gathered. Jews scattered from all over the known world came together for this great festival. I think Andy mentioned this earlier. The festival of Pentecost was originally a harvest festival. So it's fitting that we should be looking at this today. And as they came together, what they witnessed, these many languages being spoken, it was, if you like a massive audiovisual sign saying this: the gospel is for those of other languages. The gospel is for those of other lands. And look what we hear them, look what we hear those who heard them made of it. In verse 7, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? They were amazed, utterly amazed. And they're amazed because these were ordinary, uneducated people. Not the elite, not the schooled, not the intellectuals, but ordinary people. Given miraculous, for this was a miracle, miraculous supernatural gift of being able to speak like this. That in itself was a demonstration of no human power. It wasn't from themselves, it was from God. It was his power at work in them, even though those who hear it don't acknowledge it to be from God at this point. But as readers, we know by what power they speak, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, empowering them to be his witnesses. Now, this same power is available to us because God gives to each of us the power we need to be his witnesses. And how we need power, because we feel so weak and inadequate. In fact, we are weak without his Holy Spirit. And he knows this. And so in his kindness, he gives us what we need that we might depend on him. His supernatural power. Which is how he works. He never asks us to do something that he doesn't equip us for. The problem is, we operate as if he hasn't given us any power. Functionally, we operate without depending on him. Just think what sometimes happens when it comes to us maybe thinking about speaking or about saying something about Jesus. Here's three things that might go through your mind. I know they have gone through my mind. I wouldn't know what to say. Suppose I'm asked a question I don't know the answer to, then what will people think? But we don't hear the disciples saying that. What we see is boldness and confidence and trust in what God has done, in what they have been given, God himself they have been given, dwelling to empower them to be his witnesses. Here's a question for us. Do we ask God to strengthen us by his Holy Spirit? I wouldn't know what to say. Here's another. That's for our others. That's for people like you, Piers, someone who's been to theological college. After all, you're the minister. That's your job, isn't it? Well, yes, but it is the job, if you want to put it like that, of all Christians, because he's given his Holy Spirit to each and every person for a purpose, to bear witness. Now, we'll all do this in different ways, of course. And we bear witness in multiple ways. Deeds are important, what we do, but most clearly, most commonly, in words, the Spirit enables speech. But here's another. You know what? I've tried it, and I'm a failure. I get tongue-tied, so embarrassing, never again, so we excuse ourselves. Did we ask the Holy Spirit to empower us? Did we pray to him and ask him to equip us? Often not, I suggest. So let's not let so-called failure defeat us. We can always go back to someone if we think we failed to say something or feel we haven't been clear. I often do this because I'm not particularly fast at thinking on my feet. And I'll say, you know, I've thought about that conversation we had the other day. I realised it wasn't very clear. Or in hindsight, I wanted to share this truth with you and then go on to say something about Jesus that we wanted to say. What you see here in Acts chapter 2 is the Spirit's concern for all people everywhere to come to hear the good news. And how is that going to happen? Through his Spirit-empowered people. He uses us to do his work. So the Spirit turns us to be outward-looking to those who haven't heard. So this week, what could you say? We maybe have a week or two, don't we, before the events of the Queen's funeral drop out of our conversations. It would be a very natural thing to ask a friend, what did you make of the funeral? What struck you about it? You may have had those conversations this last few days. And then prayerfully, depending on what God has given you by his Holy Spirit, his enabling, say something that has struck you. For example, it could be how the Queen's faith in Jesus shone through, or it may be there was a particular Bible reading that really spoke to you about the hope of the resurrection, and to say, I have that hope as well. And then see where it leads. It may lead to nowhere, but you're being a witness. You'll make it your own. And then share how you get on with your growth group or with one another by way of encouragement. You and I have the same Holy Spirit, God with us. So let's not quench or deny him. So the Spirit enables speech. The Spirit empowers witnesses. Thirdly, the Spirit has truth to tell. The Spirit has truth to tell. It could be very easy to miss the content of what they declare, to be taken up with the sights and sounds, the blowing of the wind, the tongues of fire, all those different languages, to say, you know what, it was amazing being there that day. It was such an incredible experience. But the disciples don't share what they felt. They tell what they heard. They didn't speak about themselves, they spoke about God, as it says in verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God. We hear them declaring the wonders of God. The Spirit has truth to tell. And what would this truth, the wonders of God, amount to? Well, it's a phrase from the Old Testament. It's most often used to speak of the great salvation event of God's rescue of his people from Egypt. But that event, great as it was always a prefiguring. It was a pointing forward to the greater salvation that would come through Jesus. And Peter would go on to explain this great wonder of God in his sermon. So we're going to come to that in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But at the heart of God's great salvation plan is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. And how this needs explanation, as we read in verse 12, they end up saying, "What does this mean?" It could just be the miracle of the disciples speaking in languages. They could be referring to that. They could mean, what are these great wonders of God? We see a mixed reaction to the truth, just as there was to Jesus. Those who heard Jesus, some accepted, some wanted to hear more, some trusted, others ridiculed and denied and rejected him. And here we go, on the day of Pentecost, it is the day the disciples speak for the first time, bearing witness in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And we read this reaction. Some want to know more. What does this mean? And then verse 13, some made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Scorn and ridicule, as you read on in Acts, it becomes much more intense. Opposition, imprisonment, and even some, like Stephen, death. So the Spirit has truth to tell. Well, in conclusion, the waiting for the apostles and the disciples was over. Now we see them filled with the Holy Spirit, God moving in to dwell with them, to enable and empower them to continue Jesus' ministry. They needed him. Without him, they were powerless. And if they needed him, we need him just the same. And if we are trusting in Jesus, we have received this same Holy Spirit for a purpose, that we might continue Jesus' ministry of pointing to him and the resurrection. So let's start by praying that we might be obedient to him, by doing what he asks us to do, depending on him to be at work in us, to give us the words that will bear witness to him, and to depend on him to strengthen us when we feel so weak and inadequate. Let's pause there for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Lord, we thank you that today we can hear the wonders of God in our own language. And all around the world today, millions of people will have been doing the same. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, enabling and empowering people to bear witness to Jesus Christ, to tell the truth. And we pray, Lord, that many would come to know him for themselves, know you for themselves as their heavenly Father, to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, to know the Spirit, yes, comforting and counselling and convicting, but also enabling and empowering us to be witnesses to him. And we pray that we might do that in his power these coming days. For we ask in his name, amen.
Right, time to sing again, and time for the lasers to go out during this song. So when the music starts, please could you stand and sing?